Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We have grown more open-minded since the last war, but there are still Denobulans who fear Antarans, even hate them. My youngest son, Metis, was seduced by those people. I did my best to convince him he was mistaken. I told him I wouldn't tolerate the values he was embracing. It created a rift between us. Maybe I didn't do enough to reach him. The last time we spoke was nearly 10 years ago. You wanted to know what my children would think if they were here now. I can tell you what Metis would think. He would be happy to have me grant your request and let you die. But that is not the example I tried to set for my children. Why not live? Set an example for yours.
I thought we'd start by asking an important question. Racism.
Oh, why are we starting with this?
Are you for it or against it?
Okay.
Jesse, what's your view?
What kind of podcast is this?
What's your view? Racism? Yay or nay on racism?
Nay.
Jesse's a firm nay. Dan?
I'm a yay for nay.
Oh, no.
No, that's a yay for nay.
That's confusing.
That's similar to gay for pay.
Okay, nay for you laymans out there. Okay. For you all lame right. mans
okay.
out there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll get to the whole...
Nay, racism's bad, yo.
We'll tackle the whole racism thing in a little bit. Let's start out by saying, hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All here.
This is a weekly Star Trek podcast where we're just a couple of... No, we're there's three of us.
Just a couple of what?
We're just three guys hanging out, having a good time, talking about Star Trek. Just having lighthearted...
How's it going?
Sometimes there are guests.
A lighthearted chat about Star Trek. That's what we're doing. That's what you've landed on if this is the first time you're listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And I can imagine that there's a very... but there is a segment of the audience who they're like, you know what? We've been hearing about this It's Got Star Trek podcast for a long time. I know what episode we should check out. We should look through their library, and the first episode
this
we're going to check out is Star Trek Enterprise's The Breach.
Yeah.
That's the podcast I want to listen to determine whether or not I will like this Star Trek podcast.
They rolled 3 10-sided dice.
This light,
and they came up with a 3-digit number.
You did.
This lighthearted Star Trek podcast. Jesse, I don't know what you're talking about with dice. We use Dan's.
Oh, I know why you asked about racism now. I thought it was just like...
You're just getting that.
No,
just getting
the audience with selecting the podcast.
No, he was asked... What? Okay. Wait. Are we talking...
I was answering his... I thought you were talking about, because
get our podcast topics selected by Dan's podcast topic selection algorithm.
Absolutely.
But Jesse, you were talking about a bunch of 3-sided dice, and you're suggesting that people threw...
It sounded a little madcap at first.
...in order to... select which episode of the podcast they're going to listen to.
Yeah, right? You were saying, I thought the way you were going was, you were like, reason you've selected this one to be the first episode.
Well,
looks like we're on the right track.
Yes,
that's about it.
We are, Malcolm. And then
I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you had more to say.
Well, all I was going to say is if they had rolled the dice in order to get to this episode, those dice would have had to come up with the numbers 2, 5, and 8. Because this is episode 258.
Holy fucking shit.
Of the aforementioned It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
That's so much content.
All right, Dan, I've stated my piece.
And then I was like talking about, I was confused by your question on racism. I thought you were just like being goofy.
You thought it was a non sequitur.
Yeah.
When in fact it did indeed follow.
It was
a litmus test.
It's because from this episode.
Yes.
Yeah, racism's bad.
I'm glad. I mean, you said that previously, but I'm glad that you've doubled down on that audience. Now you both have put me in quite the uncomfortable position, because if we want to have an entertaining and dynamic discussion, it might be lame if all three of us are on the anti-racism side.
Oh, wait, so we need to have some opposing viewpoints?
You've cast me as the racist. As the person supporting the value of racism, which for a variety of reasons makes me a little uncomfortable.
What do you think?
No, Denobulan would want to be in the same room with you.
Those people.
Those Denobulan.
Denobulans.
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 Okay, let me.
The Denobulan Doctor's Directive.
Let me get through this beginning bit. So, yes, this is episode 258 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Welcome. We hope you will enjoy this episode. If not, I don't know. Give a couple others a try. The Rascals one was really good. Yeah. Go if you scroll down a little bit. Check out.
What'd you call that, Jesse? Scoundrels? Rascals. No, Jesse called it Scoundrels.
Yeah, last week he was referring to.
I did. Sometimes
you did.
There's a problem with my brain.
I wish there was an episode of TNG named Scoundrels or any Star Trek.
Let's make one.
Yeah, we could do a fan-made. That could be one of Dan's special treats on our Patreon. By the way, mentioning Patreon, natural and organic segue, we have a Patreon, so people should check that out. It's got, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. I mention it in part because we would like money, but also—
I hope that won't be a problem.
But also in part because we recently posted two new Patreon episodes. One last week on our travel nightmares. That's a pretty entertaining entry. All three of us described some amusing-ish travel nightmares. And then this week we posted one of our pre-episode banter segments, which is just us preparing for the show before an episode. It was what we recorded before Rascal. And I think
it's a complex procedure, but I'd say the odds are in his favor. The procedure was successful.
It's a lot like the actual podcast.
Yeah, except it's better. It's better. It's more funny.
It's without a net.
It's more interesting, yeah. Doesn't always have anything to do with Star Trek. But anyway, you can check that out. Patreon.com/ItScottStarTrek. We keep adding tons of stuff there often as we can. And by the way, send us suggestions for what you'd like to see or hear on our Patreon.
All I'm asking is that you try.
Whether you subscribe or not, you know, give us some ideas. Like we came up with an idea because we've had Jesse's questions and we've had It's Got Star Trek Story Time. That's what we did last week.
What's Story Time?
Well, it's like the vacation.
Why don't I remember this?
It's the vacation.
Vacation Star Trek gonna get ya. Vacation Star Trek go away.
Why is it threatening? Why did you make it such a lighthearted song parody threatening?
I don't know. I couldn't think of what else to say.
It's gonna get you.
Is that song lighthearted?
I mean, yeah. The original vacations, like, vacation. Now you wanna want to.
Yeah, you wanna want to.
It wasn't. It's gonna fucking
like
get
we're
you.
On the right track.
It's not. It's gonna fucking get you. Okay.
Very diligent.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's Vacation Star Trek gonna get you. Vacation Star Trek run away.
No, the Story Time was the vacation, the travel nightmares. We did come up with an idea that we don't know what the content is yet. We just know that it would be called Dan's Special Treat. But we don't know what that would be. So
thanks, but no thanks.
We have some ideas. None of them, I think, have quite risen to the level of legal or broadcastable. So
that's unfortunate.
If you want to give us some ideas for what you would like to hear on Dan's Special Treats, send us an email.
Enough.
And you can do that at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. That's feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Stand by.
So we don't have any
are there reviews?
Emails this week,
but
but we did have a review.
Wait, you know that song? It's like, but you did. Who sings that?
ZZ Top.
That's ZZ Top.
They also sang that song in Back to the Future 3, where it's like, actually, they don't sing it. They're just playing the music. Frisbee, far out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about this free association thing before the episode, and I am guilty of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Like you predicted I would be.
Well, okay. So for those not in the know, because you weren't listening to the podcast before we were recording it.
Yeah. But you can if you listen on Patreon.
Dan sometimes gets frustrated with me because I have a tendency to free associate from time to time. Mm-hmm. I find it amusing and relaxing.
Well,
and psychologically comforting.
But sometimes you do it like right in the middle of me talking. You like hijack my sentence and run it off into a movie reference or something.
Well, that's a free association.
Yeah, I know. But it's different when you do it to yourself. But when you like grab some shit and run with it.
Before we start recording, Dan is like, listen, you got to not do this and you got to not do this.
I do not do that.
And then we start recording and then he starts doing it.
He immediately starts doing it.
Oh, far from it. Not quite. Oh, far from it.
Well, you go.
Jesse's talking shit.
If you'd like to learn the who's right, Jesse or Dan on that.
I have tried to treat you with respect, but I refuse to listen to these insults.
subscribe to the Patreon, because guess what? You will hear some of that pre-episode banter, and you can make a determination for yourself. What is what? But let's keep things moving along.
Keep it away from me.
Because we do have a lot to discuss in this particular episode, The Breach. But first, we did have a new review. And as longtime listeners, or at least people who have listened for the last few weeks, will know.
Recent listeners.
We have a policy that was developed by Dan.
It's what we agreed to.
It is. Dan conceived of this policy and volunteered to back it up. Which is
somewhat recent, though.
For every review, we will provide a haiku.
I enjoy a good challenge.
Yes, and it's a custom haiku for.
It's bespoke.
It's a bespoke haiku for the review. In return for the review and about the review and or reviewer
at you.
And we will not use ChatGPT or Gemini or any of that business.
No, it's mostly focused around the. The seed of the haiku is their username.
Yeah, and so Dan. Dan is the one who's composing these haikus. Now,
it's a complex procedure, but I'd say the odds are in his favor.
When we first introduced this policy, it was quite successful. In the first week, it was very successful. Got reviews, got haikus, and we produced haikus.
We got several haikus.
And then all of a sudden, those reviews dried up.
No Denobulan would want to be in the same room with you.
Dry as a bone. And Dan became concerned that it was because his haikus were so terrible.
The damage was extensive.
that perhaps people were perceiving the promise of a haiku not as a promise, but as a threat.
No.
So last
you
week,
won't survive more than 2 days.
Last week we specified
not necessarily that, true, but you never know
that you can still write a review. But if in the review you ask us not to write a haiku, then we won't write the haiku. So it's not
it's painful
haiku.
To admit, but I understand why.
But thankfully,
lo and behold, we got a review.
Yes, lo and that's even better. Lo and behold. Low, as in hark.
Low. You know? My like name L-O. Is my name is Behold. First name Low, middle name N.
Wait, is there a joke there that I'm not getting?
My last name is Behold. First name Low, middle name N.
Oh, Low. Wait, your last name. Your last name is Hold.
Behold.
Oh, your last name.
My
is
My last
Behold.
Name is Behold. Behold. No, you think I'm saying my
or
last
B
name?
Period. Hold.
Patrick thinks my. I'm saying my last name Behold. I'm saying no. My last name is Behold.
And what's your first name?
Low.
And your second name?
My middle initial is N.
Low in behold. Okay.
Low and behold. You said you pronounced the N. You went low and behold. Low and behold.
Well, I was saying low and behold, and you were saying N.
Like, but you didn't even
what
say.
About low and
but
behold.
You didn't say N, Patrick.
Does
you,
N stand for Nathan?
No, stop. You didn't even say N. You went a step further and you pronounced the yeah, sound. Mm. You went N.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, because that's what you're trying to. That's the gag, right?
No.
Low and behold.
Well, it's low and behold.
Low and behold.
Low and behold. Not low and behold. You said low and behold.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
N stands for Nardlanger.
Nardlanger? Wait, what?
No, there's actually some dude named Nardwar. Have you ever heard of Nardwar?
No. Not until just
maybe.
Now.
Maybe? What
he
kind
does
of dude
these,
is it?
He interviews these people, and he like always knows all this information about them. He's like, what was it like growing up on so-and-so street when you worked at the so-and-so deli or whatever? And they're always like, holy shit. And he's got a song. It's like Nardwar.
I don't think I know what that is.
You look up Nardwar on YouTube.
I don't. I probably won't.
You should.
How is it?
It's entertaining. It's spelled like it sounds.
Oh.
Okay. So we got a review. So
Patrick, you're being recalcitrant by saying instead of just being quiet and accepting it, you specifically told me you were like, I'm not going to do that.
I said, I'm not going to do that.
I
said, I'm probably not going to do that.
I'm probably not. I'm gonna let you know, you and everyone else know that I'm not going to do that.
You and everyone else know.
Hey. Because
he's from California. Mm.
Hey. Well, hey, you.
Well, it's a good thing we're doing.
Go away.
It's a good thing we're doing Enterprise. So we're not driving away too many audience memories.
Hoagie. I want a hoagie.
Is that Baltimore?
I'm hungry. I want a hoagie. Hey, hoagie.
Now, audience, kind audience, I would gently point out that...
Enough!
Another example of Dan... Because Dan's like, you know, we take too long to get to the topic of conversation.
Yeah, right.
Before
we start recording, he's like, don't do this and don't do that.
I did not.
Shaking his fingers.
I haven't killed anyone.
Pointing the fingers.
All right, so we got a review from a longtime friend, caller, listener...
The one and only...
TV Guy Grayson... On some social media,
somesocialmedia.com.
Well,
in Australia, it's somesocialmedia.au.
We're all spread around so much social media these days, and Twitter's lame, and yeah, but the other ones don't have a lot of action.
More,
but
Twitter,
well, more and more,
more like bitter.
Yeah. Okay.
Shitter.
More like shitter. Yeah, that's even better.
So, thank you, Grayson, for leaving such a wonderful and excellent review. We really appreciate
it.
5 stars on iTunes. If you'd like to check it out, you can either look at our social media, at It's Got Star Trek on the various social medias, or go to iTunes and check out the reviews. Hey, why don't you do that? Because while you're there, you can write a fucking review.
Yeah.
Then you can get your own haiku.
Don't worry. I'll go first.
I don't mean to be aggressive about it, but, you know, come on. It's not that.
It's what we agreed to.
But yes, thank you so much, Grayson. And now, as promised,
wait, did you say his name, like his
yeah,
handle?
Yeah,
his handle.
Yeah, TV Guy Grayson.
Okay.
Yeah. I've said that. So I guess your bespoke haiku focusing on the TV guy?
No, I told you from the start that the seed of the haiku, it's not the entirety of what it's based upon, but the seed of the haiku is the username. So I just wanted to make sure that was fresh in people's minds.
Sorry, yes. It's just because I was thinking about whether or not you can buy seedless haikus. Seedless haikus.
Looks like we're on the right track.
Pitted.
You're talking about shelled sunflower seeds? You're talking about seedless haikus?
The sunflower seeds, that was before we started the podcast.
I know, that's what I'm saying, though.
All right.
A little inside baseball.
No, because I was editing some other thing of ours. I don't even know what it was at this point. Probably a Patreon thing where Jesse, in the middle of, we're talking about something, and Jesse freaks out because he's eating some grapes, and he discovers that one of his bag of seedless grapes has a seed in it.
Oh.
And it caused a whole ruckus. Anyway.
You're the reason we haven't been able to put the past behind us. You have kept this hatred alive.
You're the reason we're not talking about this episode. So let's do the haiku, and then we'll talk about the episode.
What's your haiku, Dan?
All right. Here we go. Going to do the haiku for the review and you.
That's not the haiku.
Hey, were you going to say shut the fuck up? That sounded like me.
I said that's not the haiku.
But it sounded like you caught yourself, like you were about to say shut the... And then you
Well, wouldn't I have rights too?
I mean, rights as in human rights? I mean, I don't want to take that from you. All right. Here's the haiku for TV Guy Grayson.
All right.
Once was black and white. They added brilliance of light. Sun shines on the gray.
Okay, so.
I like that one.
There was some incidental rhyming there. I didn't mean to make it rhyme, but it did.
I mean, it's a good haiku.
It's pretty punk rock. Man.
You definitely stressed the whole TV TV part.
So, how did I define my seed? I define my seed in your face?
Oh shit!
In your ears, I define my seed
this
in your ears.
This is not a critique. Not this is a literary analysis. So very nicely done. Very nicely done. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that, Dan. We'll publish that on our social media so other people can see it.
Interestingly, I was looking up, remember our discussion of Graham and how I was like, is Graham one or two syllables?
Mm-hmm.
And I was arguing because of the way it's spelled,
Graham?
It would be
like,
two...
Like the Graham.
Yeah, Graham.
Yeah.
And like the way you say it, it's one syllable. But when you look at the way it's spelled, I was like, well, it's spelled like it has two syllables. Now I was looking on the internet for, because I use the word brilliance, and I was like, how many syllables are in brilliance?
Brilliance.
Is it two or three? And I was thinking, well, it's three, but it sounds like two. I found some places on the internet said three, but the majority of what looked to be the most reputable by my like my eye seem to indicate that there were that eye. Two is the accepted number of syllables for billions, although some people say three. And I looked up the definition of syllables, and all the definitions related to how you spoke the word as opposed to how it was spelled.
Thus spake Zarathustra.
Damn, dude.
And which is interesting, because as a child, I specifically remember, unless I'm creating this memory, I feel like I remember as a kid learning that syllables were defined by how they were spelled, like were the placement of consonants against the vowels and such.
And that's the problem with school.
Well, we've learned a
lot. Is it two consonants in a row? Is that...
We've learned a lot today on the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
No, see, because freehand, that's two syllables, and that's E-H-A, whereas Graham, that's one, but that's A-H-A.
We've learned a lot, not much about Star Trek, but learned a lot in this
The good thing about this haiku, though, is it's one of the features decide that brilliance is three syllables, I can take out the first letter of the second line. The second line they added brilliance of light. If someone who wants to convert brilliance to a three syllable word, we can just say added brilliance of light. So that's a feature of this haiku that you're getting as part of your money's worth.
Do you think it's a feature of selecting Star Trek Enterprise episodes that we dilly-dally a lot in the beginning because we're afraid we're not going to be able to talk about it for the full time?
I think a little bit. Yeah. Mm. I have that problem.
All right. Well, how about this? Let's start talking about it. And if we have to add some filler at the end, we can come up with some good filler at the end. Okay.
Where would I stay?
I thought I made myself clear.
I love his scent. It's so buttery and syrupy.
I thought I made myself clear.
I was trying to... Did you figure out who the actor was?
Who played Kubiak in Parker Lewis Can't Lose?
No. Who is that quote right there, you know, from the magistrate or whoever?
He was the governor.
The governor.
The governor.
Of a whole planet?
You never know in these kinds of shows.
Yeah. I wasn't...
Whichever faction had just
the credits weren't super clear for this episode. But anyway, I like that guy too.
I don't know. I never thought to even look up who that was.
I thought I made myself clear, Captain Archer. I thought I made myself clear.
Clear. I thought I'd made myself clear.
Captain Archer, I thought I made myself clear.
Oh, this sounds cool.
I thought I made myself clear. Captain Archer, I thought I made myself clear. I thought I made myself clear. Captain Archer, I thought I made myself clear.
That sounds cool.
That's groovy, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right.
Because the original one is this. The original one is this.
Captain Archer, I thought I made myself clear.
It begins with Captain Archer, but when I do this, it sounds like it ends with it.
I thought I made myself clear. Captain Archer, I thought I made myself clear.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you sort of like roughly edited
I rushed it.
I thought I made myself clear. Captain Archer, I thought I made myself clear.
You better?
No, I feel you.
I won't suffer you another repetition.
No, I'm coming around.
Yeah!
One of those nights. How about this? Let's talk about.
I'm trying to figure out who that guy was, but
you figure that out while Jesse and I discuss Phlox's tribble. This is the earliest canonical reference to it.
It's called a tribble.
So obviously not the first mention in the series. That was in Star Trek: The Original Series, but in terms of the timeline, I believe it's still true that this is the first time in on screen. Timeline that we see a tribble.
You don't see what eats it though.
No, but
all it's capable of doing really is eating and breeding.
He's got all those other monsters.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, it's something. Some kind
problem
of
problem is they breed quite prodigiously.
I mean, in fact, the episode kind of it begins kind of jarring, right? These cute tribbles, and then they're being fed to these alien reptile monsters.
Yeah. Well, we're assuming they're reptiles because he talks about they have all the lizards on.
But they do the awesome thing where you can't see what's in the cage, and they drop something in
Jurassic Park style.
Yeah, and it's like, and then like as if it didn't make you feel bad enough, like these cute tribbles getting torn apart. Then we see it in Hoshi. She's like, man,
she's all grossed out by it.
Yeah. So I was thinking about how this was an Easter egg, and I wonder if this annoyed people back when it happened, because sometimes people get annoyed when shows shoehorn in Easter eggs or references. I don't feel, I mean,
but
it was
do they get that way when it's about tribbles?
Well, I think it doesn't matter what it's about. I think it's the idea of like you know, in Star Wars, for some reason Anakin like invented C-3PO or
Star
whatever.
Wars, what's that?
Point, but this is not the same as that. But it's like it was a little shoehorned in the tribble thing. I didn't mind it. I thought it was cool. But I'm wondering if back then people were annoyed, there tribbles in this?
It was plenty of tribble. It was just a little bit there.
But it was just kind of like put in there for no reason.
Easter.
Would you call it a reference or an Easter egg?
The line has been blurred at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's an Easter egg because Easter egg is pretty hidden.
Yeah, you're right. It's more. Yeah, it's like a statue in the background.
It's just pulling in some lore. Okay.
Yeah,
you know, you're right. I don't know. I don't know if people because I don't disagree with you that people get aggravated about this type of stuff sometimes, but I do think it sort of depends.
The Star Trek haters.
I think it depends on what it is, and I kind of agree with Jesse that Tribble might be in that category of like, oh, cool, a Tribble or Targ. You know, they just mentioned something. You know, Toby it's like, Targ. It's just part of the world building. Mm-hmm. But I like this opener teaser, except for how it ended, because I'm not a fan of the teaser that ends with a character reading something that we can't read, and then they look all concerned.
Oh, right.
Because it doesn't tell us anything.
It's just trying to, it's just like pulling us along, like being like, hey, just, we know something you don't.
Phlox is concerned. It's just not that interesting, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen this episode a bunch, so I knew it was coming, but it's, I don't know. It's just, I watched that and I was like, come on. Mm. Come on. I mean, I'm not going to suggest any better ideas because I'm.
Of course, you could always order me to tell you.
I'm not capable of that. I'm not a professional
pro wrestler. Man.
No, I'm not that either, nor would I have the talent to be. But yeah,
we should
pretend that
you are.
It was just a little like, okay, all right. And it was a short. It was a pretty short teaser too. Not that there's a problem. Sometimes a short teaser is like the way to go.
Enterprise. I've been noticing the episode length seems to be the shortest of any of the Star Trek.
Yeah, Treks. No, it was. Yeah, it was because they each series started squarking
out. I don't know.
Squeezing in more commercials.
I don't know if Voyager. I feel like Voyager was at least as long as TNG.
Because you had to go shopping. That was back during the war.
Yeah, I think both. I think Deep Space Nine, Voyager. I think Voyager even got shorter over its run. Because I think it was.
I don't know about all
particularly the end. Well, I don't know either, but I believe so. I'm going to believe it and assert it.
Want to bet?
As a sincerely held belief. Now we're in the streaming era where the episodes can range from like well over an hour to remember that one episode of Picard in the second season that was like fucking 31 minutes long and the episode didn't make any sense. And it felt like they just cut out half of it because they were just like, this is shit.
A lot of streaming shows do that. There's one that's like 30 minutes and there's one that's like 90 minutes.
Yeah. In principle, I don't mind that. In practice, it can be a little aggravating just when you're kind of expecting a certain amount of entertainment in a given week.
Yeah. If it ranges from like 45 minutes,
other stuff to do,
if it ranges to 45 minutes to like an hour plus, I'm okay with it. But yeah, if you get down below 40 minutes, one episode and the next is above that, I think 40 minutes is kind of like where my cutoff. Like I don't want to mix those two sides.
And honestly,
speaking of prejudice, I don't want to mix my greater than or equal than sides of 40. Is that prejudice of me that I don't want to mix my greater thans with my less thans?
Some sort of mathematical racism.
It sounds a little bit threatening.
I don't know. I think it can go the same way with the stuff that's too long as well. If you don't have a heads up that you're about to put on an episode and it's like fucking an hour and 45 minutes.
Heads up, it's too long. Heads up, it's too long.
Anyway.
get it?
Well, this episode is exactly the right length. It's exactly the right length for all, like it shares the same length as all Enterprise episodes. So we get the teaser, and then we...
I call it a cold open, but Patrick calls it a teaser.
Okay.
I was going to say cold open.
We called it a cold open in most podcasts.
You don't mind if it's a cold open.
I'm hungry. I want to eat a hoagie.
All right.
Is
so
that like Philadelphia?
I want to put some onions on my hoagies.
The episode starts. We're almost at the beginning. We're almost at our first break and almost at the beginning of this episode where we
certainly tried.
Figure out the plot, which is there is a planet called Xantoris.
And the
Xantorans appear to be xenophobic.
They're not Xantorans, they're Antarans.
No. The planet, they're Xantorans.
He is the first Antaran I've ever met.
The Antaran was a guest on the planet along with everyone else. And so...
He was a guest of what?
I'm not going to respond.
No Denobulan would want to be in the same room with you.
So they go to this planet, Xantoris.
To meet...
reason why they hated it.
Which, they do a good job... of explaining both through exposition and showing and not telling and all that other good stuff of laying the groundwork for this was a previously open society where tons of people from other planets are visiting for a variety of reasons, including the Denobians for their science and the Antaran guy that we meet.
And those other Hudak. Weird guys, weird faces.
Yeah, they're all sorts of weird-faced people, and they previously were perfectly well accepted. There's some sort of coup happens on the planet, and a xenophobic sect takes over the government, and starts a civil war or whatever, but and tells everyone they got to leave.
But it kind of implied that this had been going on for a while, because those Denobulan miners were all like, oh, just give it some time. Like, they'll switch over, they'll change, government will change hands.
Yeah, but not the specific.
And those guys were just going to hang out in the caves and like look at rocks.
Well, didn't they say they only had like 3 weeks left of stuff to do or some shit like that? And so that's a pretty big bet that in 3 weeks the government's going to switch hands. So which would imply that the government's been switching hands a lot.
I mean, it would if you believed the Denobulans, and I think I think we were supposed to take them as being careless.
They were just being fucking stupid. Like,
I think we were supposed to, and not because they're Denobulans, but because they're scientists. Because they're scientists obsessed with their work, so they will rationalize.
Yeah.
They will rationalize.
They had all those samples stashed along the way, and they were trying to like grab them as they went out.
I think they were
like, no more rock samples. Dude.
These were being depicted as the typical scientist rationalizing anything to allow them to continue their work.
Apolitical.
Yes, exactly. Quote unquote apolitical.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, because Wernher von Braun comes to mind.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Look it up, folks. Wernher von Braun.
He's buried in Alexandria.
Yes, he is. But you know what is not buried in Alexandria?
Dozani! Dozani! Yatoruda!
It's got Star Trek.
A break. The concept of taking a break.
So you can't stay here forever.
Yeah, well, we know we can't. We can't stay in this break forever. So we're going to stop talking for a little bit, and then we'll come back and continue to talk about this episode, and mostly this episode, The Breach, from Star Trek Enterprise's second season. Be right back.
Stand by.
Okay, I think we're ready, so...
Yeah, I'm ready. Podcast.
Okay, we're back.
Better late than never.
We will continue podcasting.
Point your finger at me.
For the time being.
My fingers are intact.
Point your finger at me.
So, the Xantarans are xenophobic.
The Antarans.
Xantarans.
No, they're...
No, not the Antarans.
Are you saying they're different?
No. Yes, there's two... We're talking about... We're at the planet. The Xantarans is the planet.
The planet is Xantarus.
Xantarus, yes. And on Xantarus, there are Xantarans. And there are also Antarans, but the Antaran was visiting Xantarus.
There are no Xantarans.
Yes, there are Xantarans.
No, they're not. There's Xantarus, the planet.
Yes.
But there's no Xantarans.
Yes, there are.
They don't say that anywhere.
Yeah, but we can presume it because of the basic linguistic patterns.
But they never say Xantarin.
Well, I'm going to stake my reputation.
Well, I'm going to stake my reputation that they don't say it.
Doesn't matter.
Well, you're right, they don't say it, but we can still use it as a term because I'm trying to differentiate between the people known as the Antarans and the people known as the Xantarans.
Fine.
Because otherwise, what would you think it would be? Xantarians? Could be.
It could be.
Xantarists. One of those guys.
Xantarites.
Right? Xantarites?
Xantarites.
I kind of like that, but it makes me a little uncomfortable.
That dude was on that ship, and they didn't even get down to the surface.
Get down on it.
They were having trouble. Like, the surface folks were giving them shit. So then had to intervene.
Yeah, we never meet the surface folks.
We'll hear them you played the audio of the sexy guy.
We download the audio on MP3 and tell the whole world how Eminem got VD.
Yeah.
Well, free associate. I did it again.
Yeah, a little bit.
It wasn't our proudest moment, but we've done our best to put it behind us.
Don't worry, though. We already explained to the audience that they should check out one of the other episodes, too. If you don't like this episode, just check out the Rascals.
Go fuck yourself.
Check out the Rascals one. You'll like the Rascals one.
He's my number one dad.
Or episode.
Don't worry about the first episode.
This podcast?
Yeah, I think probably start around like episode 169, maybe.
Start on Shadow Play.
Yeah, start on Shadow Play. That's a good place to start.
Yeah. The ship for some reason gets blowed up inside. We don't really know why that happens.
Well, yeah,
shit goes down.
Yeah, something happened, man.
Yeah, and were you talking about something specifically? Did I interrupt you?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
If you did, I don't recall.
Archer was
all is forgiven.
Thank you. Phlox was talking about how they were been in conflict. Aflac. Oh, I know what you're talking about. We're talking about Xantarans, and I was arguing that they never say.
Stop talking about that. That was a conversation that was unnecessary and B, concluded.
So Right. So they're talking about how they're the Antarans, not the Xantarans, but the Antarans were at war with the Denobulans. Mm-hmm. And then Archer's like, and they tells him how long it's been. It's been like, he's like 300 years. And Archer's like, 300 years? Fuck, you know? And considering.
Archer's like, fuck.
Which is, seems like a long time, but consider the lifespan.
For humans, it is.
For the lifespan of the average Denobulan, which they don't, we don't have an official number, but I checked three sources.
There's some implications right. even in this episode.
He's talking about his grandma.
Grandma was alive during those wars.
Well, and right, so according to Mass Trek Wiki, they live from 170 to 280 years.
Okay, there you go.
According to 118 Wiki, they live for 350 years, and they live 400 years, according to some guy on Trek BBS.
Just so, a single person.
Just a guy or a person.
Right. When was this published on Trek BBS?
Oh, gosh, I didn't even think to look at that. That's unusual for me. I usually always check my source dates.
Denobulan BBS.
How long do Denorbulans live?
Dornobulans.
Dornobulans.
Goes to Shobulans.
This was 2019. Somebody said this.
On Trek BBS. So it's recent. I don't know. I probably unfairly, I sometimes discount any Trek BBS, anything posted past like 2002.
Well, it was made by M. Spence, according to M. Spence.
Well, no offense, but M. Spence.
But he was.
Who do you think you are?
I mean, in the message board.
Are you sure it's not Mike? Was it Mike Pence? Mike S. Pence?
Because that guy's full of shit.
In the message,
I think you're reading Mike Pence's.
In the message
board.
No, this is important. This is relevant information. All right. In under his name, it shows that he's an ensign and a newbie. So.
Well, an ensign.
I think Mike.
I'm
Mike
Commander
Pence.
Jesse.
So we can throw out 400 years. I'm going to go with 280 to 300 years. Okay. So in that case, yeah, grandparent was in it. That's like 100 years. 100 years
like
for a human. So really, like war, hatred that's gone on for 100 years, still pretty long time, but it's not like 300 years.
300
like
years,
seem.
Like, think about like a war that was fought 300 years ago. You don't give a shit.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about like if it's closer to 100 years, which is comparatively,
More like
in human years,
more like it
in Denobulan years, in human years. Yes. So I'm just saying, like, it's not as much as they made it out to seem.
Yeah,
and they
it's
was
like
talking,
Fahrenheit and Celsius.
And then they said six
human years in Denobulan.
But interesting, they said it's been six generations since an Antaran has seen a Denobulan, which is like 1200 to 800. That's 1200 to 1800.
Well, a generation isn't the full lifespan. So we wouldn't call a generation 80 years for humans. We'd say a generation is what, like 20 years?
80 years.
20 or 30 years is a generation.
Would you consider
know?
That?
Maybe like,
you know, like Generation 30. X, Generation Y.
I would say it's
millennials,
closer to 30
zennials.
Years.
Well, whatever. It's still not a full lifespan.
Right.
So if you're applying that to the
I guess you're right, because then that'd be like 180 years.
Yeah, it'd be like 50 years, 50 times 6.
So they
like,
had the war, and then halfway between the war and now, Denobulans and Antarans just stopped associating with you. So they associated with each other a little bit after the war, but then they stopped.
No, I think it could still be 300. If you say for Denobulans, it's like 50 years
well,
as a generation.
Well, you just said 20 years was a generation.
No, for humans. I said for humans, 20 to 30 years. And so I said if you then adjust that
I know,
to the
and I
Denobulan
did adjust it. I did adjust
to 50
it.
50 years.
I did adjust it.
50 times 6 is 300.
Yes. 60
times. 6 generations, 50. 50 times 6 is 300. It works out, right? He said 300,
I mean,
6 generations, 50 years is a generation.
I mean, if you want to play it like that.
Oh, you're normally Mr. Math guy, and I finally got to use math to make a reasonable assumption
Danny
about something.
Numbers.
He's trying to take it away from me.
I take nothing.
I get to use math from time to time.
He mathed you, dude.
I know I'm like a qualitative person, but still, come on. I know some basic math.
No Denobulan would want to be in the same room with you.
Well, I'll tell you what I don't want to be in the same room with is this period's directing style of Robert Duncan McNeil. I love Robert Duncan McNeil, both as the actor who played Tom Paris, and I think he's really a great director.
Oh, did he direct this?
He directed this episode. He's an excellent director. He's, in my book, right up there with Jonathan Frakes in terms of actors turned directors and the quality of work that they put out is really good. And he's been, in particular, he directs a lot of episodes of Resident Alien. He's like one of the main producers on Resident Alien and directs a huge number of the episodes. So he's really great. However, I was not a fan of, particularly in the beginning of this episode, there's a ton of wobbly-ass handheld camera work. Oh. And I'm thinking that maybe back in 2003, in April of 2003, which I think was prior to the Iraq War.
It's good. They were
But
drumming the drums.
You're watching this on a smaller TV in a college dorm room. Maybe that's not coming across as aggravating on a giant LED TV.
Like, flat screen.
I was like getting sick. I was like, man, this you is get that shaky ass camera.
You get that TV vertigo?
I don't usually. That's the thing is, like, I really don't usually. But there was something about how floppily, and it wasn't the whole episode. And it was specifically the scenes in the ship when I think Robert Duncan McNeil was trying to convey some sort of tension or unease and it was all like as Phlox was explaining the situation with the ship being damaged and having to go to the planet and then like dealing with the guy, it calmed down once it got into like Phlox and the guy talking it out. On the cave part, it was absent. In the cave part, it was rock solid camera work.
They used
rock solid. Was that a pun?
It was not intended to be, but thank you for observing.
rock samples
my speleothems.
Hey, you've sampled him saying rock samples.
Hey,
can you make that into music somehow and then get to
rock samples,
because you're about
rock
to make
samples.
A point.
Rock samples.
All right, so the answer to my previous question is no.
No was the question?
If you could make music out of that sample.
I just got to try a little harder. I didn't cut off enough from the beginning.
Cut it.
You try to make a point.
Well, they use that cut shaky cam a lot nowadays, so much that I think it's just a plug-in on whatever video editing software they use, that they just press shaky camera and it starts shaking.
I think
there's
some of that. These days there's some of that, but I think it's also...
they do it a lot these days.
Yeah, but back in the day.
But it's done, I saw it's that done, Star Wars show.
Yeah, no, but and Discovery did it from time to time, but it was done differently. Like, there's a different vibe. I don't know if it's because of the...
It might have been the Obi-Wan show.
The digital filters, or if it was because of the camera holders, you know, the units they use to hold when they hold
the camera. Do you think they got analog bouncers that were saying... bouncy on their own? Or do you think they got a guy to jump up and down?
There's a little guy. They had a little guy.
Whatever it was in 2003, it was not coming across nicely on my TV.
2003 on my TV.
I just found it very distracting. Yeah. When I was trying to hear the exposition so I could understand what was going on in the plot.
Really? The plot. Well, speaking of cave stuff, finally we get a Travis episode. Except we don't.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. Right. I love the fact, because I have it in my notes. I actually made the same basic comment twice in my notes.
21 minutes he exits the fucking episode with barely any lines.
It's the writers realized halfway through, they're like, oh shit, Travis is coming dangerously close to being relevant to this episode.
No.
So what we got to do is we got to horrifically injure him and take him out of the picture.
Just give me something for the pain.
Now, Dan.
Like pitons, ration packs, flex cable. Pitons, ration packs, flex cable.
Waste disposal units.
Yeah, what about that shit?
I like when...
That's a duty or no duty.
It is. Side note, I like the face Trip Tucker the Third made when they talk about waste. It looked like some like...
He's like, where would I poo?
Where would I poo?
Where would I stay?
You don't get it.
I don't get it.
You don't get it.
I don't get it.
Where would I stay?
The face he made when he realized what that was, it was like if somebody told a dirty joke to a really prude person. Yeah. Like, they just made this like, whoa.
And I don't buy it because he's from Florida. They know all about poo down in Florida.
Not joking, Lee.
It's a dirty place.
But Dan, I was going to ask you.
Yeah,
if
we were talking about Travis. Travis.
Did you record the sound of his leg breaking?
Oh, well, I recorded this.
Hey, Dan, you think you can make music out of that clip?
No doubt about it.
I enjoy a good challenge.
The bone-breaking bit, that got
that
me.
That was like, ugh.
Both visually and auditorily.
So Travis apparently locked off that section, but he didn't do a very good job because that shit came right out of the wall.
Yeah.
And they all fell down
that
bottomless pit.
He sent them on a fucking Goonies-style sliding adventure. There was somehow simultaneously super silly and really fucking scary.
They filmed it by, like, dragging them across the floor for part of it, so it made it look like they were just falling. Like,
oh, is that what
like,
you...
For like 100... Yeah, I read. Like, well... It was supposed to look like they were like they fell 100 feet. But mm-hmm. It was like, it was just 15 feet, but then they like pulled them across the floor.
Well, like
that
one,
that one scene when they're like going like, boo! I think that was obviously like the camera was like this goofy angle. Like they were going across the floor.
Do you remember like the Adam West Batman when him and Robin would be climbing up, they'd be scaling a building with some like
with their legs all straight out, all like scissoring their legs.
Yeah, they're just like walking and having this conversation. Yeah. So obviously like the camera turns sideways. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he held
in the Batman movie. They do that too.
Oh, did they? Which one?
The one for the show. Like,
yeah, the 1960s.
That one had Bat Shark repellent.
The Bat Shark, yeah.
Yeah, because he was like, the helicopter was like, he was hanging on a ladder and the helicopter was pulling him up and there's this big great white shark hanging off his leg. Yes. Yeah. And he used his Bat Shark repellent, which is a spray. But I was going to say, Travis, yeah, he held them up with that broken ass fucking foot. Like, he held both of them up. And, that's gotta
for
suck.
For a while.
They were dangling above for a while.
They were just dangling. Yeah, they were fucking bouncing
that
around.
That was some dedication. That was that was Starfleet, man. That was some service.
But fortunately, it was a good way to get Travis out of the episode because heaven forbid Travis Mayweather would actually be permitted do something. He's such an interesting character because almost somewhat unbelievably, like every time they're going on some adventure, he's like, oh yeah, I've done rock climbing. Oh yeah. Right. I lived on a cargo ship. Oh yeah. He's got all these skills. So he's led a very interesting life growing up on slow warp trading ships and cargo ships and stuff like that, and getting into all sorts of adventures on all sorts of planets. And yet Enterprise just insisted on not using him at all. And yes, in this episode, they made a mistake and accidentally started using him and then freaked out. And, injured him so that we could have just Malcolm and Trip continue the journey to go interact with the recalcitrant Denobulans.
That's unfortunate.
Do you think, that shit he was saying, how you have to take everything out that you bring in, do you think they really needed to do that? Or do you think that was some shit Travis learned in mountain climbing school? Because, like,
well, I mean,
that sounds like a
Boy Scouts or
yeah, that's
hiking,
what I'm saying. Like,
any sort of hiking.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not on Earth. They're on some other planet. They don't have any, maybe they like having, like, shit left behind in their caves.
Yes, Dan, but you can...
That's some mountain climbing school shit he learned.
Who likes
it? Dan, you can appreciate that maybe a good default position would be if you
know.
Go someplace to leave it the same as when you
I mean, you know
alive.
What they say...
Do you mean the natives like the shit in the camp?
I don't know what
Dan
they
is,
like.
Dan is attempting to justify littering by suggesting that these backward-ass aliens...
I didn't say they were backward. You said that. You said that. I didn't say.
Like
I didn't make a judgment.
Shit all
you're
over
editorializing
place.
My comment and making it mine.
I am editorializing your
and
comment.
And you're pushing it onto my face.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's not... Okay. If you
look,
like shit, it doesn't make you backward.
When you assume...
I agree.
You make an ass out of you and me.
Wait a minute.
So don't assume that a planet doesn't want shit in their caves.
What do you have against mules?
Mules?
Yeah, you're saying like it's a bad thing to be an ass.
That's dumb. What you said was dumb.
Well, I was just joining in. That seemed to be what
I'm going to take my face pistol and shoot you in the ass.
That was aggressive. That was very
the damage
aggressive.
Was extensive.
That's early Starfleet.
It was indeed. Waste disposable units. Yes, I did enjoy
duty
that.
Duty or no duty?
That little bit. I also just...
Waste disposal units.
Yeah, that's definite duty.
I generally enjoyed the fact that this is one of those sort of classic Star Trek episodes where you have an A and a B story, and the A story is wrestling with some sort of extremely heavy, complicated, not easy to resolve ethical or philosophical dilemmas, and then the B story is just a bunch of silly, like, cave nonsense. We're just running around in a cave, and it's like, remember that Lower Decks
hey,
episode?
Guys in the cave.
There's that Lower Decks episode called Caves, where they kind of make fun of the whole Star Trek cave thing. We discussed that in episode 211 of IGST, and I think that has one of my favorite second break fun-em-ups, because that's when I went over the cave facts.
Oh, right, cave
that's
facts.
That's right, dude.
I think that might have been like the first time you... Was that the first time you did like some kind of random... Was that the first fun-em-up?
It was deep.
It may have been the first fun-em-up. Go check it out. Episode 211 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, Caves! caves.
I thought it was cool when we saw them walking into the cave and all the mountains were in the background. Yeah. And then you're like, and then all I think is like, ooh, there's so much. There's 50 kilometers of mapped cave down there, probably even more. It looked. I thought it was like when they showed the graphic at first, yeah. I thought it was a spider monster, but it was the cave. Yeah. But then like knowing that there was all this cave.
There might be spider monsters in the cave.
I'm sure there are. But knowing there's all this like spidery cave tunnels down there while they're on the mountain, I'm like, that's awesome. And then imagining them in the cave, I'm like, there's all this nature like outside of, I don't know. I did a good job of comparing those two.
We've said it before, and no doubt we will say it again in the future. But one of the fun things about watching Enterprise, and one of the things that people miss out on if they don't watch Enterprise, if they give it a skip, is that Enterprise represents... represents the apex of production design for this era of Star Trek.
Yeah. The production design went to a different dimension, sort of like went between Voyager and Enterprise.
But it was still in the same sort of thematic vibe, whereas there was a clean break between, say, TOS and the movies, and then TNG, and then there was another clean break between Enterprise and Discovery, so you have the modern era, where there are certain sensibilities that are shared across the shows. But that era, from TNG to the end of Enterprise, there's sort of a production thematic link, partly because a lot of the same people are working on the show the entire time.
Totally.
Right? There were people who the entire time from 1986, 1987 onward were working on the television Star Trek until the end. And specifically
are you talking about how different that Enterprise was from Star Trek in the future from Enterprise?
What are you talking about?
Both?
I'm talking about how the same it was, but that it's the best version of it. So let me give you an example and maybe...
Right, yeah, you're saying... I was comparing it to afterwards. You're saying it's the last of its kind until Star Trek's after Enterprise. Yes, right.
I think I was very clear about that.
Well, but the difference was in Enterprise is like the lighting was so different.
Look, I'm trying to make a point, which is... It's exactly what you're talking about, which is the scene of them going into the cave with a landed shuttle and all that stuff. They would have done and did do exactly that same type of shot on season one TNG, but it, of course, was not as composited as well. Like Enterprise, like everything looks more real. It's widescreen. It's cinematic. But it still looks like it could have been TNG, Deep Space Nine, or whatever. It's just like the better version of it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, later on and previous to TNG, there's different eras of style, right? So you do miss out on some of that stuff if you give Enterprise a skip. Because even on some of the boring episodes, the production design, generally speaking, is just excellent. Mm-hmm.
My speleothems.
Yes, in the speleothems. I have that written down, except I think I spelled it wrong because on my notes there's like a little, there's this, have you seen this? It's a little red it's a little red squiggly line. And it shows up under some words.
Yeah.
When you type them in.
Yeah, that's not in the dictionary, is it?
But it's not in all of the words.
Travis did come back at the end of the episode only to drop all the speleothems down the pit.
Yeah.
That was a pretty weak...
Well, not all of them.
Oh, not all of them. First of all, that was a pretty weak drop, I thought. Like, they just kind of fell out. But, like, I thought it was funny how, like, much of the assholes the scientists... It's almost like they were pressing buttons. Because the scientists... Because that was the scene when they were trying to grab some more of the rocks. That was when T3 went...
If you don't start moving in the next 5 seconds... I'm going to take my face pistol and shoot you in the ass.
He's like, we've been taking 6 weeks to get these rocks out. And then they got them. And then they went up. And then Travis Mayweather promptly drops a bunch of them on the ground. And they're just like, oh, it's okay. We got more. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Right. So I think they were just trying to piss him off.
That's what
I'm
saying. It's funny because we'll talk about the Dr. Phlox stuff in a bit.
Because they were so insistent.
But there's all this heavy material in this episode. And then there's these goofy-ass annoying scientists I really enjoyed how they structured this story because, first of all, Travis is injured. It's clearly a major drop. You have this time constraint. You have xenophobic, racist people on the planet. You got all this stressy stuff going on. And then they encounter the scientists, and the scientists are like, nah, we're good. Yeah. See you later. And then it turns into this whole like comical thing with
they're crawling through these like narrow tunnels, like on their side, on their bellies.
And by the way, spelunking with these ridiculous flashlight flashlight things on arms that do not seem practical for spelunking.
And they're not wearing any fucking helmets.
No!
Well,
no
did you
helmet.
See the way they can crawl up the side of the fucking wall?
Well, the Denobulans can, but not Reed and Trip and
when,
them.
When the Denobulans climbed up the wall, it gave me that same uncomfortable feeling I got when watching Phlox smile in that one episode where it was all weird.
Or when his face puffs up when he gets scared.
Yeah. Actually, we're talking about how it was aggressive when Trip Tucker was talking about shooting him in the ass. It began actually when they were saying, like, we're not going to leave, because he said, my orders are to bring you back. And that's not what that. Now I'm going to. Okay, this is what he says. We didn't risk our lives to hear you say thanks, but no thanks, which is a sound I have that sounds a little something.
Good. I'm looking forward to this.
Like this.
All right.
Thanks, but no thanks.
All right.
Good. Okay, so pack up whatever you need, because I swear I'll tie you up and drag you out by your ankles if that's how you want it. See, he's pretty aggressive.
Well, the thing is,
he's got a mission.
That's what got them to agree to leave.
Right.
Prior to that, they were not willing to agree to leave.
Right, and so that's why he was so willing to threaten them with a phaser, because like he was like, the only way to talk to these scientists is to threaten them with violence.
Yeah, because they're nerds.
Well, that's what I think is funny, is that we have these characters that we should be rooting for, these scientists, for two reasons. One reason, because they are scientists, and if you're a Star Trek fan, you're supposed to think scientists are super cool and awesome, and you're supposed to sympathize with them to some degree, because you're like, oh, they're a project. But they're also the target of our heroes, Trip and Malcolm in this case, of the mission, right? That to complete their mission, they have to retrieve these people. So that's another reason we want them to go with Trip and Tucker. So it is funny and frustrating when they refuse to go.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
And it's quite.
Yeah. Those Denobulans.
What are you going to do about those Denobulans?
I don't know.
What are you going to do about those Denobulans? What are you going to do about those Denobulans? What are you going to do about those Denobulans? Denobulans.
Oh, I didn't mean to ask both of you, because I don't know if we've discussed this before, despite talking about caves a lot on Star Trek, because we've been doing this podcast for many years, and this is the 258th episode of the podcast. So as you
this
can
is 211th birthday.
So as you can guess. By the way,
I don't get it.
I think when we did our 111th episode,
111th the birthday.
I think Dan goes on a good riff about the 111th birthday. But 111st, whatever.
111st
birthday.
111st, but he also goes like 111st.
Well, we've talked about caves.
Good old Baggins.
Quite a bit on this podcast, because there are lots of caves in Star Trek. But I don't know that we've ever actually gone round robin here.
Round the horn.
And described what our thoughts are.
On caves.
Look, do you like caves? Jesse, what's your view on caves?
I like caves.
But do you like caving?
I don't think I would like the kind of caving they did where they were like climbing through some narrow passage.
Yeah, I don't think
I like I like those tunnels that
like a big cavern.
I like a big old cavern, like Luray Caverns or Skyline Caverns. I like those tunnels that they made for the railroads or the canals and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I where enjoy they, that as
some
well.
Engineered
I enjoy
tunnels.
A good canal tunnel.
Yes,
hewn out of the rock.
Yeah,
yeah.
Those are nice and spacious.
I like caves too. Although I'm starting to get actually a little freaked out now, because I'm thinking about the idea of getting like falling headfirst into a tight hole that gets me stuck.
Yeah, that sucks, dude.
And then my arms are trapped. Yeah. I'm starting to freak out. I'm getting claustrophobic.
That's happened to a number of people.
I know. I'm not generally claustrophobic, but I'm getting claustrophobic thinking about that.
Yeah, I don't like, especially when you see the illustration of where somebody like gets wedged in.
I'm not into like too much adventure down in the cave. Like, stay on the path.
Was that a helpful response?
I mean, I was just interested, because I've never even just asked you guys in personal life, although I think I've been in caves with both of you gentlemen.
So
we've been to the tunnels.
For one reason or another. Well, you know, like, for example, in Austria, they have those salt mines, which are pretty rad to go in, and the ice caves and stuff where it'll be 90 degrees outside and there'll be big, huge icebergs inside the middle of the mountain. That stuff's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I've never been in a salt cave before.
A salt cave.
A salt mine or whatever.
A salt and battery cave. Well, because there's the natural caves, then there's the man-made caves like Jesse was talking about, like the salt mines or the train tunnels.
Assault mines. I want to go to these salt mines.
That's what I was just saying. You can't take my joke.
I said it first.
No, you did not say it first.
I said it first.
Fuck you. Or the
last cave I was in had handrails.
The great pyramids.
Gift shop.
Yeah.
That's a man-made, but it's very cave-like because you got to walk all down and then up the stairs, and it's really freaky. Then it opens into this chamber.
It's all like tight too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very tight. You have to crouch down. The other one that I was in, I was in the DMZ. And
evidence.
It was one of the tunnels that the North Koreans, the infiltration tunnels that the North Koreans were digging to the south. But the thing is they have earthquake sensors, so they always know where they're digging, and then they just arrest them when they come up. But anyway, you can go on a tour on some of those.
That was
a cool cave.
Yeah.
I like the man-made caves. I think, I don't know, I feel more comfortable somehow with a man-made cave, because I think the natural caves those are the ones that have beasts and foul creatures and lurking
snow
lurking
trolls
things.
Or ice trolls or whatever trolls,
all manner of trolls.
Perhaps
trolls.
Do you know what I think they might have?
What?
Brake trolls.
Oh shit.
What an elegant segue.
Yeah.
Because we got to take a break.
An elegant shit way.
Take something.
All right. I think I'll take something when we're on break. So we are about to take a break.
I just made that joke. No, you stole my joke.
I said it first.
No, I said
when,
it.
When we get back, we will conclude our discussion of The Breach. And this time, I promise, I think we'll talk about Dr. Phlox and his new friend. All right. Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
I can't hold this much longer.
All right, are you ready to come back from the break?
Yes.
Okay, I've officially announced it. We are back. Hello.
We are back.
Hello, everyone. We are back.
Meeting time?
We are back from the break. We had a good time. Took a little break from the podcast, and now we've returned.
We've returned,
and we're going to talk about this guy, Hudak, who's a grumpy little old Gus.
Hudak?
Hudak was Hudak.
Hudak?
Yes.
Keep him away from me.
Hudak, the character's name, I believe his first name in beta canon, it's not on screen, so it's not official, it's not alpha canon, but I believe the beta canon is that this fellow's name is Jason Hudak.
Yeah. What a dedicated healer you must be.
Okay.
How delightful that we have so much in common.
He's a sarcastic motherfucker.
Well, he was a grumpy Gus.
Yeah.
He was a grumpy Gus. Now, a couple things about this storyline, the Phlox Hudak storyline.
Hudak.
To provide some level of context and explanation for those people who do not actually watch the episode but still listen to the podcast,
which is weird.
It is weird, dude.
What are you gonna do? There's weird people out there, and we tend to get it.
Let's not judge.
You don't get it.
We hang out with weird people. We are.
I don't get it.
But this episode.
Where would I stay?
The main story, the main ethical question here.
Holograms.
Is that.
I always get that funny.
Is that Phlox has a patient. The patient is from a planet that has a bad history with the Denobulans.
We don't know exactly what we know why the Antarns don't like the Denobulans. Yeah. We don't know why the Denobulans have issue with the Antarns, but we can kind of guess it's the usual.
The implication is that the Denobulans were in the power position, in the aggressor position. Because certainly nothing that Phlox says suggests otherwise. But anyway, just for the basic context, Phlox's Denobulan medical ethics, say that he cannot help somebody who does not request it.
But that's right? the Denobulan doctor's directive.
Isn't that the same here, though? Like, if you, no, I mean, it's different. No, because you can tell them, you can be like, don't resuscitate me. You can't force them to give you medical aid if you don't want it. You're allowed to, like, say, see you later.
In certain contexts, but it's sort of very specific and
doctors
legal.
Doctors have to help you.
You know,
doctors have to help, but like if you're able to deny aid, you can do that.
Yes, but if somebody was determined by whatever authority to not be capable of making that decision, for example. Now we didn't examine that in this context.
He seemed pretty with it. He was able to make that decision.
He did seem totally with it. But I'm not disagreeing with your point, Dan. I'm just saying that I do think he ends up going against his wishes
in a way. Anyways, when the guy wakes up, he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Don't worry, I'm just scanning you." Yeah. That is a form of medical attention, even though it's in the spirit of what the guy's talking about.
You're right.
Yeah, because it's a read-only operation, but it's interacting with the guy, and the guy didn't want to associate with Phlox. On top of that, it is still some kind of medical stuff. Yeah. On top of the fact that he just didn't want to have anything to do with him.
That's the fundamental question here. That's what they're setting up. Yeah, they're setting up this idea that this person does the only reason he's dying, but the only reason he's dying at this stage because he has a resolvable problem and a generally easily resolvable problem, but luckily just resolvable complicated enough problem. That only Phlox can do it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a problem.
Happy to help, doctor.
If a nurse could do it, or if there are other doctors available who could do it, if it weren't so complicated, then
happy to help, doctor.
There would be no episode.
Happy to help, doctor. Happy to help. Help, doctor.
The guy's problem is exactly perfectly titrated such that it is complicated enough that only Phlox can do it.
Yeah, but it's right. That's right.
But it's not so complicated that there isn't basically 100% chance that it's going to work if he lets Phlox do it. Okay,
it's a complex procedure, but I'd say the odds are in his favor.
That's the only scenario that really can make sense in order to examine this in as clean a way as they want to.
I was thinking about that too. It's like he's not the only fucking doctor, but like you said, only Phlox.
It can do it
for some reason.
Coincidence that it happened that way.
Yeah,
but good for the drama of the show.
Yeah. You were talking about
he's racist against Phlox, and so he doesn't want Phlox to treat him. It's the equivalent of in Fawlty Towers when
American came and he was like talking about kicking everyone's ass.
No, in Fawlty Towers.
Kick your what?
Bust his ass.
That's right, bust your ass.
In the episode The Germans.
I'll bust your ass.
In the episode The Germans, right. Sybil Fawlty is in the hospital getting an ingrown toenail operated on. And
that's unfortunate.
Her surgeon happens to be a black man. Mm. And when he walks in, Basil Fawlty like does a double take. Now, he doesn't prevent the person from treating his wife, but still.
You were talking about how it was implied that the Denobulans were in a position of power, and that is indicated through...
Or at least aggression.
It's indicated through the writing, too, because he's talking about how Phlox is talking about how Denobulans are like ashamed of their history, and yes, they wanted to move on to it. But even though they feel bad about that, that's a position of privilege that they can be in because they're trying to. They're like we just want to move on, and Tarns are like, we can't move on.
We bomb the shit out of you.
Yeah, and Archer made a good point. He's like, maybe you put it behind you too quickly. There's that point as well. There's still a lot of racist Denobulans all over the place.
Including his son Meatus.
And
Meatus.
Metis. Moving on, I don't know. Like, they, of course, the Antarans wouldn't probably accept aid, but there's been no indication that they even tried to give aid or anything like that. So it's just kind of like the Denobulans are ashamed of it, and they think the way to solve it is to just pretend it didn't happen or something. Yeah. And that's their form of moving on. And I think the Antarans probably, this is a lot of sort of stuff I'm drawing from the words.
You gotta
read
a lot into it.
You gotta read into it a bit, but which it's logical to me, but if that is the case, and the Antarans have good reason to still be pretty pissed off.
Well, that's why it's a really well-written episode, because they do a good job of conveying exactly all of that, the power dynamics, the blame dynamics, the different positions that both Phlox and Hudak have. And
was it downward dog? That's the only position everyone knows in yoga, unless they take yoga. Everyone knows about downward dog.
Do you take yoga?
No.
Isn't there some kind of...
So that's why I only know downward dog.
Isn't there like
dog?
A... There's like tiger mantis. Lotus or something.
There's also like a sun squatter or something, right?
Yeah, sun squatter. No, that's
sun
one.
Squatter.
Hey, Dan.
There's a mountain roll.
Mountain roll? Okay, keep them coming. I want to hear some more of Dan's yoga. Hey, this could be... And this could be an accidental preview of Dan's special treats.
The reverse rhubarb.
Well, I said yoga, not sexual position.
Oh, rhubarb.
My bad.
Have you ever had rhubarb pie?
It's delicious. It's some of my favorite pie.
It's actually pretty good.
Next to blueberry pie, those are probably my two favorites.
Rhubarb's like a sweet celery. Yes.
I love pumpkin pie, rhubarb pie, blueberry pie. Cheesecake is amazing, but I don't know if you'd call that pie, but it is pie, but they don't call it pie. Yeah. I don't know what the deal with that. If you consider cheesecake a pie, that would probably be my favorite pie. The best kind of cheesecake to me is the straightforward cheesecake with nothing really on it, like the shit from the New York Carnegie Deli, that style where it's like thick and just a hunk of cheesecake, maybe some whipped cream, but I don't need any of that strawberry stuff or anything that. Just like a hunk of hard throbbing, you know, slices.
I like some fruitiness.
Honking
or like
cheesecake.
Some peanut butter or something.
Peanut butter? You want peanut butter on your cheesecake?
Yeah, chocolate.
I imagine that would be tasty, but I prefer it to be pure. Like, I don't like I'm like, I would rather have pumpkin pie separate or cheesecake separate, but the cheesecake pumpkin pie swirl I can do without.
Hey, Jesse, you realize this is, I think this is the second time in this episode that Dan has been in favor of segregation.
No. Once with my episode lengths, greater than or less than 40, don't mix those two. And don't mix pumpkin pie and cheesecake. Oh man, you're right.
Well,
it wasn't our proudest the initial moment, question but about we've racism. Done our best to put it behind us.
This episode shares some similarities to, do you remember in that episode, that TNG episode, The Enemy, when there's an injured Romulan and his life could be saved by a simple blood or cellular transfusion from Worf, and Worf refuses to give him the transfusion? And the Romulan guy is all like, I wouldn't want it anyway. Because Klingons are gross.
Wasn't there an episode of Gimme a Break where, like, the son had
Give
this,
me
like...
A break.
with Nell break. Carter, where the son...
that was a great show.
With the son, he had this, like, entertainer, this entertainer that, like, all the kids liked, and it was, like, he got to meet his hero, his entertainer, and then that guy needed a blood transfusion for some reason, and, like, for whatever reason, his whatever Nell Carter's relationship was to him, I don't know if she was, like, I don't know. Anyway, she took care of... She was his caretaker or something.
Okay.
And so she was going to give her blood, but then the guy, that's when they found out that his hero, his entertainer hero, was a racist because he didn't want a blood transfusion from Nell Carter because
I remember that episode.
Right. Yeah. And at the end of the episode, somehow he gets her blood anyways and he's all freaked out. And then at the end, it's either the kid or her. They're also like talking about like, and you shouldn't like Goofy either because Goofy's black. And then they leave the room, and the guy was like,
"You're talking about Goofy, as in the Disney character."
Oh yeah, the Disney character, Goofy. Or maybe it was Mickey Mouse. It could have been Mickey Mouse. Actually, I'm sorry, it might have been Mickey Mouse. They said,
"I'm Mickey Mouse."
But that was another episode.
I'm black. Do you think Mickey Mouse is coded as black?
I mean,
I don't think so.
I don't think it was a coding issue. I think they were just pointing out that he is the color of...
He is largely a black mouse.
Black and white.
He's unusual because, you know, most mice, when you see them running around the yard or inside your house, heaven forbid, they don't generally have pale faces and dark fur.
Right. Some people like...
Red pants with big yellow buttons.
Some people insist that rats make wonderful pets, actually.
We're not talking about rats.
Those people are weird.
We're talking about Mickey... Mouse.
Do you remember when those old Goofy cartoons, when he'd fall off the cliff and he'd go, "Wahoo-wee!"
He always does that. He still does that.
Does he still do that?
He does that for all. And he
that's
also
his
goes,
deal,
he also says, "Gorge."
That's the greatest. Gorge. Yeah, gorge.
And then Mickey's all like,
Okay, we're talking about Star Trek, aren't we?
I'm Star Trek Mouse.
Oh, we're talking about segregation, and somehow we got because I was talking about Give Me a Break. Bad. Oh, you were talking about that episode, The Enemy. The Enemy.
Yes,
The Enemy, which is at least a Star Trek episode, even though it's not this Star Trek episode, but it does have that thematic connection. It's a different setup because in that case, Worf doesn't want to give the guy the blood. And Picard is kind of like, I could order you to do it. And Worf is like, yeah, if you order me to do it, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah, and that episode ended fucked up too.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting. Yeah. We haven't talked about that episode on this podcast. Maybe we'll do that one of these days. Maybe if we keep saying the TNG episode, The Enemy, your podcast selection algorithm will be influenced to select it.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
And then we'll watch it.
Well, no, it can't be the title because it doesn't go by that. I always have to clarify this, does not influence the episode at all. Unless they say the title in the episode.
Yeah.
Because it does not take title into account.
Yeah. And I don't believe they say the enemy in The Enemy.
Yeah.
They may, but I don't recall them saying
it. Who are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Phlox actually, when Archer's all like,
all I'm asking is that you try.
It seemed like Phlox was affected by the racism of his grandmother. Yeah. Like he had a little bit of it in him, and he was even admitting to it that he's like, I'm trying to be good, you know. But for at first he didn't want to work on the guy because of his his oath he takes, which is not the Hippocratic
business
oath.
Ethics.
Business
the
ethics.
Denobulan doctor's directive.
Hippocrates wasn't denobulan.
But. He didn't even want to talk to the guy at first. And that's when Archer was yelling at him, be like, dude, just fucking talk to him. Because it seemed like he didn't want to have anything to do with it.
That's an order.
So he might just not wanted the confrontation. But then also there was that point when he freaked out at the guy.
Yeah.
And he was like talking about like, you're the problem.
It the guy was being a shit.
Well, it's the classic. It was the classic situation where someone's like, I'm not the problem. You're the problem. When in actuality, you know, it takes two to tango or whatever.
Yeah.
And
it takes two to Paso Doble.
I knew you were going to make a joke on that. I knew it.
Did you know I was going to say Paso Doble?
No, but it didn't matter.
He was going to say minuets.
You understood the form.
Yes.
Good.
So when So his response when he freaked out at that guy,
a couple took a run.
When he freaked out at that guy, that was a little bit of his grandma's sort of racism. And like I said, when you get so pissed when you say it's not my fault, it's your fault, like that's sort of ignoring the that both people are playing over this. It's I think this is the only time Phlox actually got really pissed off about anything.
It was kind of interesting because when you look at the Memory Alpha and some other sources on the background of this episode, it.
More like Shmemory Alpha.
What is that?
John Billingsley thought that this was a good episode overall and that there were specific parts of it that were particularly good, but he had some trouble with sort of the idea
that Phlox was getting all fucked
and some of the lines. Phlox was designed to be this sort of zen character,
right.
This laid back, chill, almost like stoner kind of hippie character. And so it was he thought it was a little too jarring.
Yeah, it was weird.
That Phlox, that the Denobians in general would have this history of like genocide or some attempted genocide, you know, whatever. Like
something bad.
They killed 20 million people, I think, right?
Yeah, it was 20 million people.
It's like a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's
And that he had these scenes that he said he enjoyed acting and he thought they were powerful scenes, but that they were... He thought they were a little out of character for Phlox, specifically for the reasons you're talking about.
I mean, when he said,
I'm going to take my face pistol and shoot you in the ass.
I thought that was a little much for his character.
Not necessarily.
Surprisingly, I don't have that sound clip.
Yeah, why don't you have that sound clip? Was just because it's so... We did that episode. Was that in the pilot?
What's a pilot?
I just can't help it. Jesse, what are you clicking over there?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's that was
him.
Me.
For the first time, that was Dan was clicking.
I was
blaming Jesse for Dan's stuff.
I was fucking with the rubber band. I'm sorry. This is my bad.
Okay, it's a rubber band.
Our situation is critical.
Dan was fiddling with an unloaded rubber band gun, and Dan has not been formally trained in the use of firearms as Jesse and I have, and he was dry firing that guy. You should never dry fire. Or gun. It's not good for the mechanism.
Dry fire. Yeah. Dry fire.
Dry fire.
Crossfire.
You'll get caught up in the
crossfire. But you're speaking about his son Metis. This is another age thing. He said we haven't spoken in 10 years, which in their time is like 3 to 4 years, you know.
Could be. Yeah.
It's like up there, it's their time. But down here it's our time. It's another I'm making a Goonies reference because they did the Goonies slide. So I'm making a Goonies reference.
Yeah.
About dreams. You see this was my wish, and it didn't come true. So I'm
going to take my face pistol and shoot you in the ass.
I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back.
I think it's interesting how Phlox and T'Pol are like good buds because T'Pol is like emotionless, logical Vulcan, whatever you want to argue on that point, but that's what she's sort of presented as. And Phlox, while he's not full, while he's not full of emotion, he's very expressive.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And so they make an interesting pair because, like, ultimately they're both like similar and logical. You know, they're both like they're not taken over by their emotions. They're logical. They know how to look at something reasonably.
They're the science officers.
But when you look at how they behave, like it appears like I said, he's expressive and she's not. But they're actually very similar characters. So it's that fun thing where they're like
it's a little fun.
How they present themselves complement each other, but they have good. It's just an interesting dynamic. I think works well. There should have been some kind of buddy comedy with Phlox and T'Pol.
It's like Voyager something.
Seven of Nine and Tuvok.
Yeah.
Well, they're both because they're both like I am a thing that walks around and does this stuff. and T'Pol's all like there's been extensive damage and then Phlox is like
we don't need a Phlox and T'Pol show, we need a Dan show. Dan's special treats where he says things like I'm just a thing.
That's just the thing.
They should have a Phlox and T'Pol buddy episode.
Well, they don't do much.
But they never did anything like that. They would just occasionally eat together.
No. If you don't start moving in the next 5 seconds, I'm going to take my face pistol and shoot you in the ass.
they didn't have
it. Doesn't that seem odd to you?
They didn't have an episode, but they frequently did pair them up and do things. Like there was Phlox doing some dentistry stuff on DePaul at
That's
one point.
What I'm saying, oh though.
That was good.
That's what I'm saying.
But you want like a whole episode.
I want a whole episode.
I bet there's a look in the books. I bet there's a book or a comic book. And if not, you should write one. You should write a short story.
That's called fan fiction, and I'm not going to be a part of that.
Why do you say that? Be a part of it, motherfucker.
No, I have nothing, against fan fiction. Some fan fiction actually turns into episodes. I just know that if I wrote it, it would turn out to be that cringy shit you read, like that where the person's trying to be all like cool and good, but it's like, ugh.
Why don't you have ChatGPT write it for you? Why don't you have ChatGPT write you?
No, because I don't want a 100-page
because
I'm not going to let
story about DePaul and
I don't want AI to. I don't want AI to replace my ability to think. I'd rather like...
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think it is either. But the point is like, it's easy to defer thought to like, oh, let's just have ChatGPT do it. And it's like, it's kind of a cop-out, you know?
No, I won't deny
Unless
that
Unless you're making a specific point to address ChatGPT.
I won't deny that it's easy, and I won't deny that it's a cop-out. But it could also be funny.
There have been some funny songs on YouTube with ChatGPT, but at this point, like any new...
Songs on YouTube.
Like there's one about like...
ChatGPT.
There's one where this guy's talking about I had my nuts taped to my ass or something like that.
I know the ones you're talking about where it's like sounds like some like old blues or something. Or
yeah,
some like
that was pretty funny, right? Yeah. But it's like I don't know. It's got to be really good for me because like just I don't want I like if I I'm either I'm gonna write the fan fiction or I'm not. I'm not gonna get ChatGPT to do it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we resolved that.
I might do it to read it to see how well it did and then see if I could get a subscription to GPT-4 and compare and contrast their stories. That would be interesting.
Well, and don't limit yourself to ChatGPT. There's also
Gemini.
And there's Meta AI.
And there's Marvel.
And there's Blidblarps.
And Zoopy Doops.
Yeah. In fact, there's It's Got Star Trek.ai, which is...
Give me something for the pain.
It's an AI that we're going to train we're training it only with our episodes of It's Got Star Trek.
That's a lot of shit.
Did you think Hudok was convinced pretty...
Hudok?
Was convinced rather quickly.
Well, as we said earlier, Enterprise episodes were much shorter to allow for more commercials as compared to TOS.
I mean, I didn't so, mean 3 minutes more quickly. I meant like...
No, it's like 3 minutes more quickly.
Like, yeah, I'm saying like, you know, he there was a lot of hatred that just got resolved in that one moment.
It was...
If I was going to buy that Hudok forgave all of Denobula that one thing,
all of
I would have a hard time believing that he would then bring a Denobulan on their ship with the rest of the crew.
Well, you got to remember.
What do I have to remember, Patrick?
Or you
what
might
do
have
I
to
have
realize.
To? I have to.
He was the.
Because I don't. That's assuming I don't.
He was the only.
You're assuming I don't.
He was the only.
How do you know I don't?
Antaran on that ship. So it was a ship full of all manner of people.
There were weird faces.
There were all sorts of, as Jesse pointed out, there were all sorts of.
Then why
weird
did they
faces.
Ask him if it was going to be okay to put him on the ship if he was the only Antaran? We already know he was okay with them. Archer was like, is that going to be okay?
No. We didn't know that he was okay with them. We knew that he let.
We didn't know if those other guys were okay.
Yeah, he let Phlox, who he had interacted with a lot and could save his life, perform a simple. Or a complex procedure to save
He says, I understand they'll be heading home on your transport.
Yes,
I hope
your
that...
transport.
I know,
transport,
he said,
don't
let me finish the sentence. No. Let me fucking finish. No, see, when you try to guess where my point is going, sometimes you're wrong, and then we have to go through this rigmarole. All right. He says, I understand they'll be heading home on your transport. I hope that won't be a problem. Yes, your transport. I understand that. Yeah. But we've already established that Hudok had forgiven Denobula, so why even bother asking him that question if he's the only Antaran? We don't know that he's the only Antaran. There might be more.
The implication is that he's the only Antaran.
How is that the implication?
Because he's the only one who we've interacted with, and why would the... Maybe Archer, if there were others, he went and asked them permission too, but they would have said no, presumably, because they didn't go through this transformative
process.
That's
why I'm saying it didn't make sense that
so
they...
So we can
you're saying...
This.
You're saying
I disagree with your point.
You're saying you disagree because it wouldn't make sense for there to be other Antarans that would like put up with that shit, and I'm saying... The same thing, except I'm saying that that is what they implied, and that's weird that they would imply that.
I'm saying that I find it confusing that you don't understand that it would...
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Yes, that you don't understand.
You're asserting that what you're saying is demonstrably correct.
You haven't let me complete my point, or what I think you don't understand, which is, or maybe are not appreciating, that Archer was being polite to this person who had made explicitly clear that he wanted nothing to do with these people, and reluctantly, under the risk of death, resolved his relationship with a very specific Denobulian. I disagree with you that he's made any indication that he's forgiven all of Denobulia, because even at the end of this, he said, "I wish there were more Denobulians like you," and which was sort of aggravating, because then Phlox has to be like, "Yeah, I've been telling you there are."
Okay, well, whatever you say about all of Denobulia, that doesn't affect my point about the transfer. You did say Archer. You said your point about what I was saying was that Archer was just being polite, and that's a big if right there. That's a big buddy if. That's a big butter butt.
Big buddy, big
I think he's being polite to both him and that's the assumption. And to the Denobulians.
You're saying the thing that I don't understand. You're saying, Dan, the thing you don't understand is he is being polite, and that is that's so fucking loaded with assumptions. That's horseshit. I don't understand something that you're asserting is correct because you say so. The thing that you don't understand is that I'm saying something, and because I'm saying it, it's true. That's what you don't understand. That's what you said.
Yeah, pretty much. Good. All right. I'm glad we agree.
I'm going to take my face pistol and shoot you in the ass.
You know,
better late than never.
If it was set on stun, that might, you know.
Bashir didn't set it on stun when he shot Moto.
Yeah, last week we discussed crossover.
We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help.
And that is rhythmic.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help. We have a lot of samples. We'll need your help.
It almost sounds, the sound quality is so good on that one quote. It almost sounds like it's out of a commercial or something.
Well,
is that better or this?
I thought I made myself clear.
Well, see, that is just sort of, that's less rhythmic and more sexy.
Yeah.
Whereas the samples.
Captain Archer, I thought I made myself clear.
We have a lot of samples. We'll need your
that's
help.
That's just more musical.
I wasn't looking forward to throwing you in irons.
We have a lot of samples, but we do not have a lot of time left in this episode.
Do you think Archer was joking when he talked about putting Phlox in irons? Or do you think he was
serious?
Literal
irons, or was he being metaphorical?
Well, I mean, do you think he would have thrown him in the brig if Phlox hadn't followed
through? You know, I mean, one wouldn't think, but then again, while watching this episode, I was reminded about the fact that Archer has both a propensity and a facility at threatening people into doing what he asks them to do.
Yeah.
Because he asks politely a lot, and then he threatens people, and then they do it.
Oh, dude.
Like, at the end, when
that was actually kind of badass when he called him out on that, and was just like, it's like...
Your hands full.
Yeah. He's like, you're gonna go to war with us. We're gonna go to war with you, and you already got someone else attacking you, so you're fucked. Yeah. You know, that was badass. That was an awesome. I thought that was pretty tight.
So he, you know, and we've seen him torture people in season 3.
Right? Yeah. I was thinking about that.
And I was like, it's funny when you get
sorry.
We got some. Usually the comments on social media are generally positive with regard to our podcast. Occasionally they complain about us being too hilarious or something along those lines.
Oh,
but
small thinkers.
But that was an episode in Carpenter Street when Archer's just like
Carpenter Street
punching the shit out of somebody.
I'm going
and we're saying like that's not a very like Star Trek thing to tie somebody to a chair and torture them. But we get a lot of comments saying like, no, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do given the nature of the situation. And it's like every single one of those comments was by a man. I'm not gonna infer anything from that, but you know.
I think it's time to go to Carpenter Street.
Well, it is almost time to go what else do we need to talk about?
There wasn't a that's an order, but there was a moment when Archer said, I'm giving you an order, and to me that was A-okay.
I agree with you, yes.
How else are you gonna say it?
It was not a cliche that's an order.
Right.
It was a fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what to do, and I'm
fuck
the captain.
You. Telling you what to do on Carpenter Street. Some lore about Xantoras. It has unusual speleothems. It also has calcite, aragonite, botryoidal flowstone.
Yeah, which sounded pretty hot.
Yeah, like hot as in like sexy?
Yeah, flowstone.
Flowstone. Flowstone. I like my flowstone.
That makes me think of Flossed in Paradise in The Fifth Element.
Flossing Paradise?
No,
I want to go to a flossing paradise.
No, you know you don't. There'll just be chunks of grossness everywhere. Like if everyone's flossing, that's not cool because then there's just chunks of tooth junk flying out everywhere.
And if everyone flosses, it's like nobody's flossing, right? That whole relativity thing.
I mean, it's exactly what relativity means.
I like the effect of both ships zipping away at FTL at the end. Yeah. You see, and there was a cool, I like the
audience, FTL is shorthand for faster than light.
The year 2000 faster than light sort of effect. I thought it looked neat. It looked like all computery in a way that I liked. Yeah. Not computery in the Babylon 5. I never got into Babylon 5. I'm going to try to watch that again because I just remember being so put off by the special effects.
I was, speaking of which.
Because I heard it was good.
I recently ran into our good old buddy David Traub, who has been on this podcast before. And I proposed to him that we do an It's Not Star Trek where we cover the pilot episode of Babylon 5. Right. He first of all, he agreed to, and he also laughed because he said that's like the worst episode in the whole series.
episode?
The pilot. The original first episode. Anyway, that's for the future.
That's a good challenge.
The two points I wanted to make is I thought the Xeno mythology sounds like an awesome thing. So Hudak's job is like a Xeno mythologist.
And you'd think someone who is a Xeno mythologist would have a little more tolerance towards the culture.
But we can see examples of this in anthropology and sociology. Not always the case. Mm-mm. People do not always have the attitudes that you might assume. Or, by that measure, Star Trek fans. Mm. Right? We see it all the time online. Yeah. Star Trek fans.
All I'm asking is that you try.
Some Star Trek fans hold views that seem confusing, given the general tenor and ethos put forward by the Star Trek franchise.
Our situation is critical.
The other point, or the last point I wanted to make, is I really thought there was some sort of meta meaning to, I think it was a Trip who said, "Sorry, Travis, you aren't going anywhere." Because as we discussed, they were like, "Let's sideline Travis as soon as we can."
Yeah.
And then Travis is all like, "Give me something for the pain and we'll keep going." And Trip is just like, "Sorry, Travis, you aren't going anywhere."
Sorry, Travis, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I never thought about that. I bet you somebody snuck
that in.
That's
why we do this podcast every week.
We think of things.
And we talk to each other.
Think of things.
And we get little insights. All right.
He'll be a bit groggy when he comes out of the anesthesia.
Last chance because we got to close things down.
Close them down.
We're done.
Two, one, three. Two, one, three. One, two, one, three. Two, three. One, two, one, three. Two, one.
What kind of count is that?
Could you hear like the rope all tensing like throughout the whole thing? Yeah. I can't even make that. How does a human even make that? I bet, what's his name?
This is Foley work.
Who's that guy who goes the bleeps, the creeps? What's
the
that
bleeps,
guy?
The creeps, and the sweeps?
What's that guy's name?
Michael Winslow.
Yeah, I bet he could make a good... yeah, the bleeps.
Hold on. Okay, we're funny guys. That was a pretty good episode.
The bleeps.
Pretty good episode of Enterprise.
The creeps.
And a pretty good episode of this podcast. Maybe not the best, but a pretty good one.
Hey, I thought we did okay tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think we did okay. Sweeps. I think we did a good solid
holograms.
Job. That's right.
Holograms?
That's the one
holograms?
You always say.
So, next week, how do you find out what we're going to discuss next week? No, you are. So, first of all, we'll probably have it in the show notes. So, probably. We'll probably know by then. Because, again... For the uninitiated, Dan has
waste disposal units.
Has a bespoke podcast topic selection algorithm. Jesse and I do not know how it works, but it slurps up our previous week's episode, spits out the next episode we should discuss.
Toss a coin?
That is to say, toss a coin to your Witcher. That is to say, when we're not covering new episodes, which we will be soon because Lower Decks is coming back soon for the fifth and final season. So we'll be covering it each week. But until then, we'll have Dan's podcast topic selection algorithm pick for us. It'll be in the show notes probably, but it'll also be on our website and our social media, which is at It's Got Star Trek.
Show notes.
Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, Threads, all that business, Facebook, YouTube, these nuts, and all that jazz. Patreon.com/It's Got Star Trek. Feedback at It's Got Star Trek. That's another thing you can interact with us on with the email.
I did have nightmares.
Old fashioned email. I think that does it. So with that, we'll say.
What a dedicated healer you must be.
Practicing your bedside manner. How delightful that we have so much in common.
We'll sarcastic asshole.
A hearty.
Don't do it, Jesse.
Goodbye.
Don't do what?
You always get the thing up to your nose like you're going to.
Thanks for your company.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
We take out everything we bring in.
Poops and sex. Bye-bye.
My speleothems.
Forget about them.
Fortunately, I have some other samples in my case.